So I get to start?
Yeah, let's wait for folks to settle in from the attendees. So you should see some attendees starting to come in. It should have sent them a notification that they can join the webinar. So I suggest waiting a few minutes.
Okay.
People can come in. But at this point, the meeting is being recorded, and we will save it from this point on.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to make this part of the introduction. I know that you were going to introduce to the panel and to any attendees our new SWAC member, but do you want us to go around really quick and introduce ourselves to Joe, just so he knows our roles real quick, and then we can do a formal introduction to him once everybody's logged in?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I just have some housekeeping to do. So yeah.
Well, I'm Steve Willis, and I'm chairing the meeting. And I'm happy to have you here as part of the commission, Joe. So welcome.
I don't know, Stephen, do you want to just call on people across the grid since we're all in different orders? On everybody's screen, we all arrange differently. So maybe you can just call on folks. And
I can do that.
Thanks.
I can do that. I will tell you, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the prior meeting. Oh, there's Derek.
Hello. Hi. Whoa. In my head. It's really sunny where you're at. Pretty nice.
So, Stephen, do you want to call on folks to go around and introduce?
Go ahead. Introduce yourself to Joe.
Okay, well, my name is Travis Dutton. I'm the Solid Waste Program Manager. So I sit in and listen to these meetings, and we'll talk more about that. Kim, do you want to go next?
Yeah, and we'll do a popcorn style, so I get to pick who's next.
Okay.
So my name is Kim Harless, Solid Waste Operations and the Solid Waste Program at Public Health. I help facilitate this Solid Waste Advisory Commission. If you have any troubleshooting questions, you can send me a message or an email right now during this webinar. And I pick Rich to go next.
Hi, Joe. Nice to meet you. I'm Rich. I've been on the commission, I think, for this is my second term. I've been with the City of Vancouver Solid Waste Program for almost 22 years. So I've been going to meetings for probably half my life. But welcome to the SWAC.
Thank you.
Tim, do you want to go next? You're next on my.
Hey, I can go next. Hi, Joe. My name is Tim Kraft. I'm the Southeast Clark County Commission representative. I've been on the board about a year and a half, October of 2018. I'm a mostly retired civil engineer.
Nice. Nice to meet you, Tim.
Nice to meet you, Joe. Thanks.
Kyle, would you like to go next?
Yep. Hi, Joe. Good to see you again. We already met, but I'll go through this again. I'm Kyle Potter. I represent Southwest Clark County. So, and I've been on the board for just over coming up on a year now. And I am a firefighter for the city of Portland for my job. And I live here in like the Phillida Salmon Creek area with my family. I have a wife and then twin daughters who are 6 years old. And welcome and glad to have you here.
Thanks, Kyle.
Great. Jason, do you want to go next?
Sure. Hey, Joe. Jason Presser. I represent businesses in Clark County. Been on the commission about the same time Tim did. We came on at the same time, October 2018. Seems like it was just yesterday. And day job, I work for Fairway Independent Mortgage here in Vancouver.
Very nice. Nice to meet you, Jason.
Nice little plug there at the end, Jay. Nice. So, Derek, do you want to go next, please?
Sure. My name is Derek Ranta. I'm the district manager for Waste Connections in Clark County. So I run our operations as far as collection and transfer in the area. I've been on SWAC for a while and been going to meetings for a long while. I've been with Waste Connections. This will be my 17th year this year. So Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. Well, hopefully we'll see you in person soon.
Thanks, Derek. Yeah. I was just realizing, by the way, I've got a lot of light coming in here. Can you guys see me okay? I know I'm kind of sitting in – I didn't realize I'm sitting in a shadow here.
Very much look like a Dateline anonymous witness a little bit.
muffle the voice.
Yeah. We'll recognize you by sound next time we see you. So
there you go.
Simone, would you like to go next?
That was really funny. Hi, my name's Simone Auger, and I represent small towns and cities on the SWAC, and I've been here since 2014, and welcome.
Nice to meet you, Simone. Where were you from before 2014?
Well, as far as...
You mean on SWAC. I'm sorry.
I have seniority, right? Oh, okay. Sort of. Who's most senior, Kim?
I think maybe.
Alan's the most senior.
Yeah.
Alan, okay, well.
Yeah.
I'm up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simone. Kim, I don't know. Do you want me to go down and just introduce the panelists for the attendees that are on the phone? Or how do you want to do that part?
Yeah. If you would like them to introduce themselves, you can call them out and I can unmute them if you would like.
I think just for the sake of time, if it's okay not to disrespect any of our attendees, but I think I may just run down and say their roles and then give Joe a chance to introduce himself, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So I know I'm just looking at the attendees list, and also in our group we have Jessica Fishberg. Jessica Fishberg is our in the operations program and leads the special waste, so wastes that fall outside of our typical curbside or municipal solid waste programs like paints, hazardous waste, batteries, and you'll hear about some of those today. Brian Schlottman is on the phone, who is the manager for the solid waste enforcement program. We have Amber McKnight, who is our office assistant and organizational guru, who is taking minutes and managing and help set up this meeting. We have Julie Gilbertson, and I may ask Rich to – I don't know Julie's exact title, but she is with the City of Vancouver, and I do not remember exactly what her title is. I apologize. I know what she does, but
– She's a solid waste supervisor, and she'll have the city's update in a little while.
Great. So I know what she does. I just couldn't remember what her title was, so thank you. We have Kaylee McLaughlin-Burton, who works in our outreach and operations program and is largely our social media and outreach, developing videos and communication for social media and a lot of our blogs and information. We have Mike Davis, who is a senior operations specialist in the program. He'll be talking a little bit about the regional system study. We have Samantha Springs, who is one of our newest members, I think is actually our newest team member, who is a program tech and does a lot of the field work that supports our green programs out in schools, out in businesses with the MCR program and our events. And then we also have Tina Kendall, who is, I don't know how long I can say new for Tina Kendall, but Tina Kendall is our lead for the Green Neighbors Residential Outreach and Education Program. I think Brian's phone showed up. Otherwise, I think I got everybody in the attendees category.
Great.
And then I don't know if we wanted to give the last part of this. That's the introductions, and it looks like there's a formal agenda item for Joe to talk about yourself in the darkness of your screen. So
okay.
I will relinquish everything back to Stephen to start and kick everything off.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to do a quick housekeeping before we kick off the meeting. It doesn't look like we have anyone from the public attending right now, but there is a Q&A function if folks have questions from that are an attendee. Just put in the Q&A that you have a question, and I will unmute you. If we start getting guests from the public, I'll probably change that method. So just put a thing in the Q&A that you have a question, and then I'll unmute you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion to have the minutes from our previous meeting approved. And all in favor, say aye.
I'll move.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Well, that's done. And Joe, do you want to talk to us about yourself, or do you just want to like be quiet?
Oh, heck, you talked me into it, Steve.
Okay, fine.
Okay. All right. So, as you guys know, my name's Joe Zimmerman. I guess I am your agricultural, I don't know, advisor or ag representative, I believe it is. I thought I'd throw out a bit of tidbit for you guys. Simone, I apologize, Simone, I misunderstood you when you said you'd been here since 2014. I was actually just talking with the head of all public works here a couple weeks back, and it dawned on me that, of course, I have, you know, four grandparents and four families from those grandparents. Three of those families had lived in Clark County for 100 years before I was born here. So you can say that my family has some roots here. So like I said, I was born on a farm here in Brush Prairie. I think you guys probably know my family. We have busy farms here. My dad's been, you know, in and around the county, you know, all of my life. I've always called it the backside of politics. He's worked on a lot of land use, water use, that kind of stuff, you know, councils and stuff. Myself, I'm not talking about him, I'm talking about me. Myself, I graduated from Prairie High School in 93, immediately signed up for the Marine Corps Reserves and spent 6 years as a reservist in the Marines. You know, did a couple of odd jobs, not to mention working for my parents, of course, but ended up meeting a cute girl and getting married and kind of moving away from the farm for several years. Where I you know, worked for a construction company for a while, and then got into, against my better judgment, I got into the trucking industry. So between 2000 and 2010, I only logged 850,000 miles in a commercial semi over that 10-year period, and I hated every minute of it. the blessing was that actually 2010, of course, was when the economy – really hit for us in the trucking industry. It was actually a blessing for me. I went back to school. I went to WSU and graduated with a business degree in operations management. And anyhow, sold tractors for a couple years. I really enjoyed doing that. Worked for another machinery company and then took a job with Clark County. So right now I am the farm manager at the Clark County Heritage Farm. Who's, you know, which some of you know quite a bit about what's been going on out there. I'm still, you know, thoroughly involved in agriculture. I know a lot about what's going on and what our farmers are dealing with on a daily basis. And it was through Farm Bureau, by the way, I'm becoming extremely active in Farm Bureau. And it was through Farm Bureau that we were, you know, contacted that, you know, you guys were looking for an advisor for this board. And I'm really excited to work with you guys. I really am looking forward to, you know, to being that voice of the local farmers. So,
great. All right. So should we move on to updates?
If you have you done the roster or the.
Well, we can do a roll call. I can see who's here. I know we've got Joe, Kyle, Rich, Tim Kraft, Derek, Simone, Jason are all present. So who's going to do Clark County Public Health?
I'll start with the solid waste program update. We, based on conversations we've been having with SWAC, specifically Kyle and Steven, rather than kind of read through a list of updates, we have consolidated them into some documents that we're going to send you ahead of time. So a large number of just updates and statistics on the most recent quarter of activities in the green programs and operations has been attached. Kim had sent that out. A few things that I just wanted to highlight in that for SWAC members, both as opportunities to participate, but also a call to maybe help spread information and news through whatever avenues you have is just to highlight that both our MCR program and Green Business program have shifted largely and very impressively and very quickly towards engaging with the public online. So our MCR program is doing worm composting and training courses through live webinars, and then we'll be posting those recorded webinars so the public can continue to participate. And I've talked about in the past, but our green business does regular morning blends, sort of a green networking opportunity for businesses, and they just had their first live webinar with Wager Audio this morning, and I was not able to participate. I know Rich was, and I think Rich, you can nod or shake your head, but I think you said it was impressive, and they did good work, and really found a way to be engaged with the crowd. So if you want to check those out yourselves, it's a great way to see what we do in person without having to get up off your couch or leave your house or anything. But also, these are things that if people want to share, we're trying to promote them through our social media and through our outreach. So this is just something we can, you know, spread the word on. Another large update, a negative update, is due to everything that's going on right now, our Recycled Arts Festival for this year has been canceled. It was a decision that Sally and the Green Programs and myself talked a lot about to try and figure out what we were going to do. And ultimately, you know, enough decisions cascaded and it felt safest to make that judgment call. So Sally and Tina and the Green Neighbors Program will be looking at some opportunities in the winter to do something focused on the vendors that come and participate. And then we're just going to look forward to the next year's event and hope that everything is open back up then. And I think just largely from a COVID coronavirus standpoint, all of our team right now is working from home. We have been fortunate enough to find an easy switch. Everybody's been working at home. A lot of our projects and programs are still on schedule. I think the biggest one is Green Schools. Obviously, with schools closed, the field work and the time spent in communicating with schools and teachers right now has shifted away from a priority. So we're waiting and watching and seeing what's going to happen. And also just awaiting to see what's going to happen with budget impacts related to revenue at the county. So those are a few things I wanted to highlight. I don't know if there were any updates. I know there's a lot of great things in those updates, but just to give you guys the opportunity to review and get that information yourselves, I don't know if there were any specific questions or anything that if you had a chance to look at the updates, if there was anything you wanted to talk about or questions or thoughts that you had, I'll open that up right now for some questions if anybody has anything about either our green programs or any other updates for our program right now. All right. Not seeing any hands, I will return back to Stephen for the next update.
All right. So the next update is, I guess, the Solid Waste Enforcement Program.
Yeah, this is Brian Schlottman, Solid Waste Enforcement Program Manager for Public Health. You guys can't see me, but thinking that I would be seen by you fine folks, I did put a collared shirt on, so rest assured, I look appropriate.
Brian, I just promoted you to a panelist, so you should see that.
Oh, now I have to prove that I'm wearing a collared shirt. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, there you go.
Am I on? Can you see
You're
me?
You're on.
You are.
Okay. Oh, there I am. I'm up there. Okay. Great, thank you. So solid waste enforcement updates. The quarter one for 2020 came out. If you guys have questions about them, I'm happy to answer those. But the long and short of this quarter is starting in April, since Melissa's inspections are on a quarterly cycle, we decided that starting in April, she would not be doing inspections and she could make those up because the situation with COVID was evolving so quickly. Those inspections will resume starting this week. Some of them have to be scheduled visits just due to staffing at some of these facilities. So we're going with the punches, and they will get done. Quarter one, she did 9 inspections, which is just about right on for what we would expect. That's about all I have for the enforcement update. If there's no questions, I'd like to give you guys an update on the code revision that we're working on.
Yeah.
All right. So Is there
Brian, before you go on?
Yeah.
This is Kyle. I had one question about the Whatley Pit issue that we've had ongoing with Clark County Public Works. Are we making any headway with that? Is it more of just foot dragging still? And if it is foot dragging still, is there anything that the SWAT can do to help you guys in terms of, I just think that the fact that we have another county agency that's not really wanting to, it seems like from past updates, not work with us, just seems a little bit crazy to me. And I was wondering if you give an update on that.
Yeah, well, I've been going out to Whatley Pit with Melissa when she does those site visits, and I wouldn't call it foot dragging. I know that they're working with Department of Ecology and their contaminated properties, contaminated sites program. There's a certain level of assessment that needs to be done. There's been some back and forth. And again, this is just, we're not in the conversation. We're getting updates from Public Works as those come in. So I may be behind the curve a little bit on this, but from what I know is Public Works is asking for a more thorough evaluation of the site. There's a little bit of a dispute between the testing that Ecology did and what Public Works thinks should have been done. So Public Works, as far as I know, was last outsourcing with a third-party agency to go in and do some more thorough testing to evaluate the contamination on that property. But that conversation's happening with them and Ecology. So I can do some digging to find out what's happened with that and where they are. But that's the last I've heard.
That's good. I just wanted to make sure that we were making some headway with that. It's been on our, you know, enforcement here for like the last year, I want to say. So as long as you're confident that we're making some headway on that, I just get a little leery when I see something on there repeatedly. It's like, okay, what's going on there? And just wanted a little more information. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I put the word confident behind my response, but that is my response, and I'm happy to give SWAC an update through an email. I can do some digging and find out what the progress is at this point.
Perfect.
I'm happy
that would
to
be
do
great,
that.
Yeah, if you could email an update when you get a chance, that would be awesome.
Sure. And regarding the code update, so we made the difficult decision. We had the code update is going on, but we had an RFQ out to hire a consultant to do the public outreach piece of that, and that came in at about $50,000. I made the decision that I thought it, with all the uncertainty with COVID, it'd be a bit irresponsible to spend that kind of money at this point. We've gone 30 years without a code update. It needs to happen. So we are continuing with in-house revisions. My goal was to get a review to the SWAC by June. I think that's going to have to be pushed out about another month. But at this point, I'm about to reach out to Travis's team and other in-house folks to do our own internal review. And then once we get finished with that, I'd like to give SWAC an opportunity to weigh in on some of the changes. The majority of changes that we're making are just housekeeping. Like I said, it's been 30 plus years since a major revisions happened. So Clark County is still referred to as a health district and not doesn't represent who we truly are. So those kinds of changes, there are a few other changes that I don't know will be quite as popular with the community. And those are the things that I really need SWAC's buy-in and opinions on that. So once we do get to that point, I'm looking forward to working with each of you to have a review of that.
What else?
Regarding
what's the schedule for that thing, Brian? What's the schedule for approval of that code?
If we were going to do the public outreach piece this summer, which I was hoping, we would still be about a year and a half out from approval. Once I get all the community buy-in, stakeholder buy-in, then I have to take it to county council and go through a number of work sessions and review from our prosecuting attorney, which she's already done one review. We've got the green light for the changes that we've made. It is a lengthy process. So whatever changes we're looking at, we're still at least a year and a half out before it's approved. As far as getting a review to you all, I am hoping early to mid-July, I'd have something to you so you can start looking at it. Yeah, but I can't make an estimate on, because we're having to put a pause on the public outreach. That's an essential piece. We need to have the public review and buy-in for this in order to get any kind of buy-in from council. So there has to be approval across the board before we even get to council.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Brian, what kind of public outreach are we looking at doing once we have kind of our proposed code updates? What's your, do you have that plan formulated yet, or is that still kind of in the works?
We did. I had a what I think was a pretty solid plan that consisted of multiple in-person outreach events at three different points in the county to try and get that urban and rural mix of folks. We are in a different situation now with public outings really not being encouraged. So I'm taking a step back and I'm working with some other folks to see if we can get an online component. From what I've heard, online public outreach sessions tend to get a little bit better publication, more buy-in from people, more opinions. So I'm in the starting phases of that, trying to redevelop that.
Okay.
I don't have an accurate timeline for that, though.
Okay.
And Will, I think just to add to that, Brian and I have talked also about engaging with, there are some really good examples of virtual public engagement. And given the situation with some staff, potential staff availability, we've talked about maybe helping assist from a solid waste standpoint. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the legislative funding changes that happened in the future later on the agenda. But our solid waste program may find some opportunities to help engage with the public and be part of that. So,
okay.
Thank you, Travis. I didn't want to call you out without talking to you first, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. Any other questions for Brian? All right. Next up is
Steve. Hey, Steven, do you mind if I just take one quick second?
Take your time.
I just wanted to, I know we've been trying to introduce the attendees that are in the, I guess, crowd tonight, in the audience tonight. So I don't know if he's still there, but Jason Hudson is the division vice president with Waste Connections, and I know he's usually got a pretty slam schedule, and it looks like he may have enough free time or some spare time to come and join us today. So I don't know if he wants to say anything or introduce himself, but I don't know. Derek, would you say he's your boss, peer?
Sorry, I couldn't hit the mute button. He is definitely my boss, and he's not really busy right now, so he's got a lot of free time on his hands.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it, that he's bored and wanted to come listen to us give updates that he knows about, but it's good to have him here. So I don't know if you can hear Jason.
Keep him in the right section over there. Keep him over there in the attendees section. We'll be fine.
All right. Well, I just wanted to welcome Jason Hudson and let everybody know that he was in the attendees as well.
Great. All right.
Sorry about that. I had to step out. I had a phone call. I'm back now.
Well, welcome.
All right. City of Vancouver. Who's representing the City of Vancouver?
Julie Serif. We can unmute her. Thanks, Julie.
Hi. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It doesn't look like my video's working. Hold on one moment. Oh, there it is. All right. So I'm on a garbage yacht tonight.
Nice garbage barge. I like that.
I know. I call it a yacht, Derek. This is the luxury trip that our waste takes. But thank you tonight, and welcome, Joe, to Slack. And it's great to see everyone in good health. I'll keep my updates brief. In the last Slack meeting, I mentioned yard debris contracts that by this time I had hoped would be approved. And unfortunately, due to COVID, we had to bump our scheduled date with council, so it is scheduled for later in May. And so I think I may have mentioned this, but I'll echo it again, in that these new contracts we set up and we use to plan our programs around and use the rates within the contracts with different vendors to then build our programs and our budgets around. And I'm excited to share that there is a new piggyback a provision within the new contracts to allow for piggybacking, which will benefit the other cities and potentially the county as well, should they be interested in having their own unique contracts with these vendors as well, which is somewhat new. And then we have a spring coupon program that is a program we traditionally offer April 1st through the end of June. The program is offered to all City of Vancouver residents with active garbage service, and that is traditionally single-family curbside customers. And they receive a coupon in the mail through their Waste Connections bill. The majority of customers receive their coupon in the mail with their paper bill. And for those that don't, they receive a postcard if they are signed up for auto pay or e-bill with Waste Connections. And the city had prepared for this program well in advance of COVID, and the coupons were prepared and stuffed in envelopes. And we were in the midst of COVID in March and decided that it was best to kind of comply with the governor's orders and encourage people to stay home and not go out and use their yard debris coupons. So we changed our messaging quite a bit to adapt in compliance with both state and local public health guidance, and really echoing the message that we've had at the transfer stations as well at this time. So we've extended that program an extra month. And our hope is that people will hold on, stay home, and use the coupons later. But it is kind of tempting with this nice weather and while people are home to use their coupons. Other great things, while we're all adapting in COVID times, our staff are working from home, just like the education staff and others as well. And they're trying to take their in-class presentations and trainings to neighborhood associations and really transition them to virtual. So like many of us, we're working with our partners to help make that happen. And it takes time and patience, but our hope is that we can still offer trainings that neighborhoods really relied on, and then continue to provide them with a grant incentive that they would offer. The Recycling 101 grant was something many neighborhoods relied on, and it's a small mini grant that we offer for those that participate in our recycling trainings and then share the word about recycling. And then specific to COVID-19 for the City of Vancouver, one of the big things that this virus has had an impact on is how we deliver our neighborhood cleanup events. So we offer traditionally about 50 events with Waste Connections and with our city operations crew on Saturdays. We usually have two per weekend starting in March, running through the full spring, summer, and into the fall. And the last events usually end in November. And that's a total, like I said, of 50. But we've had to cancel or postpone all events in March, April, and May. That's a total of 21 neighborhoods that were impacted, so it's roughly a third of our program. And we're working on creating cleanup guidance and really carrying forward the message that cleanups can't be conducted in the same kind of casual community manner that they were. They're very important events for our neighborhood associations and for our residents. They bring people together. They bring them out of their homes to bring their waste out, get rid of it, clean out, and really have an opportunity to connect and fundraise, particularly for the neighborhoods, as well as they connect really well with their Waste Connections drivers that are serving them at the events. So we're working with CDC guidance, public health, state guidance, and really our City of Vancouver EOC team to make sure that the guidance that we have for operating cleanups is as safe as possible. So we want to still provide this service because many folks have things they want to get rid of, or 21 neighborhoods, roughly a third of the community, they're planning to get rid of things at this time, and so they're having to delay that. In total, we've postponed those 21 neighborhoods for their cleanup events to occur later in the year. So our hope is we can still deliver that service, but just at a later time. And then the last thing is we are monitoring for illegal dumping. Our concern is that if people are delaying trips or financially impacted by COVID, that they might look for opportunities or have to take an unfortunate choice and not pay for disposal and choose to find an unoccupied dumpster or an unoccupied business's dumpster. So we are sensitive to that need and working with the businesses in the downtown to monitor for potential for illegal dumping, but other key areas along the city where we have seen occurrences in the past, but thankfully haven't had active reports of it. So, and those are my big updates in the city.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Julie? All right. Waste Connections, Derek, you're up next.
Okay, so to keep the COVID theme going, the bulk of our report would be regarding that and the impact it's had on our group. We were able to act pretty quickly in general and follow some local safety procedures that we established, as well as we company-wide had a pretty active program to try and address it and really try and keep our employees safe, keep them engaged, and keep everything moving, because we know we're an essential part of the health community. So some of the things that we did were we reconfigured some of our transfer station acceptance areas, put plexiglass up so that the cashiers wouldn't be exposed to any customers any more than they had to. We stopped accepting cash unless it was a truly emergency situation. Our two-man garbage routes are wearing masks when they're in the cab. Our entire customer service team, which is about 30 people, and then another 10 to 15 people in our office, including our educators, so about 50 people in general, we were able to move them almost overnight to remote work status, which was difficult because our old phone system didn't allow for that. So we had to install an entire new phone system, then set everybody up in their home offices and get them all going. And it took us about 2 or 3 days, but our customer service staff, Kristen Neal, did a fantastic job on that. And Josie Wright, our education manager. So they did a great job. We got all that in place pretty quickly, and that allowed us to keep everything running. Phones really didn't have any problems. We're certainly finding that people have a lot more time on their hands to look at their bills. So they are looking at every line of their bill right now and calling us about every line item. So we're getting a lot of phone calls on billing issues that we wouldn't normally get. But otherwise, on the hauling side of things, things have gone pretty well. Certainly, commercial volumes dropped, on a dime. We lost 25 to 30% of our tonnage on our commercial routes, so any of the front load businesses. But that all switched to residential. We saw an almost exact offset one-to-one between commercial and residential tons. So people were just consuming more at home. So we had to bump up our staff on the residential side and bring it down on the commercial side. Roll-off really stayed the same, which basically also talks about the transfer stations, where we saw a lot of obviously home activity, people looking for things to do, work on those home projects. At our transfer stations, we put signage out. We got messaging out. The county and city were very helpful trying to get anything out on social media, press releases. We had an article come out in the newspapers. We had an article on Coin TV, a short blurb on Coin TV, asking people to stay away from the transfer stations. And they simply couldn't stop. So we did. We had 3,600 more transactions this year in April over last year, about a 14% increase. So we had about 26,000 visitors to the transfer station system in the month of April. And I think we did about 1,000 to 2,000 fewer tons. So really small loads of people doing cleanups and bringing it in when they probably didn't need to and didn't really listen to that messaging. But the staff did a great job, especially the cashiers. It's a real difficult situation when, we're putting the plexiglass up and they're having to deal with that kind of claustrophobic environment. They really did a fantastic job. But we did have some really long lines at the transfer stations because the people that would come by would be not your normal customers. They had a lot of questions. Do you accept this? Where do I go? How do I do this? They don't know how to turn their trailer into park. So our lines really got out of control for a few days there. Things are really have kind of leveled down now. Everybody's either got their projects all done or they're, we're starting to kind of get back into that normalcy phase. So things have kind of leveled out for us. I think that's most of it. All of our educators have been working remotely. Schools being closed has changed the dynamic there. So we're trying to do some projects, some catch-up projects, like swap out all the food waste carts for the schools and get that caught up. So we're kind of catching up on little things that we need to get done. Sorry, it's really windy outside my house. It's not making it too noisy on the microphone. And I think that's about it. Any questions or anything I can answer?
I do have a question. I had kind of noticed in some of the social media there was some comments about the traffic conditions being dangerous, as we all know about. But there were quite a few people from the community that were quite upset about that. So I noticed.
Yeah, central transfer is a really difficult situation for us. It's been that way for a long time. And you know, we've got plans to make changes there. Some direct things that we're going to do this summer as far as rearranging the entry point, and got some construction plans moving forward on. And then we have, you know, obviously we'll, you know, Mike's talked about it, and we'll talk about some more about long-term plans for the facility. But certainly we have a lot of issues with customers coming in. They, you know, they get frustrated waiting in line. Even though we told them, you know, not to come to the transfer station right now, lines are long, they still come in. And the worst thing that they do, if anybody's tried to make a left turn to head north out of the facility on Highway 503, it is a death trap, and we still have people that insist on taking that left turn into traffic, and we have some near, you know, some pretty serious collisions that happen out on 503. So a couple things that we've done, we have put up a DOT recently, was helpful in putting up some reader boards. So we've got one on coming north, southbound, one going northbound, and they're just, you know, slow, be careful for traffic. I can't remember what the exact wording is, but they're posted on both sides of the street, so that'll help. We have put kind of a makeshift no left turn block out there so that people won't make that left turn anymore. That doesn't prevent the traffic and the backup going in and out, but at least hopefully we can try and reduce that. I was over there the other day, and so the first day we put this signage up, no left turn, of course, two people immediately came, went right around the outside of the barrier and took a left turn right out in traffic. So they just, you know, people don't care. And then the third thing we've done is we put webcams up at all the sites. So now you can go to our website and you can see if there's a line. It's pointing straight out from the scale houses at the transfer station, so you can see if there's any lines at that time. So we're encouraging people to visit the website, see if it's a line. If there's no line, great time to come in. Hopefully that'll help regulate traffic a little bit. But again, I think a lot of people want to come in. They all come in from about 10 to 1 o'clock, then take some time off, then come again at 4 o'clock. Those are kind of our peak hours.
Okay.
Hey, Derek, I had a quick question for you about I've, some other utilities have stopped. I don't know how you guys normally operate, but have stopped, you know, service disconnects based on non-payments of bills given the economic impact. Is that something Waste Connections is considered or is doing? I just haven't seen. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So some of the actions we've taken company-wide and locally, they've kind of left it up to the local municipalities. But in general, we are not suspending service. We didn't suspend service as we normally do at the end of March, and we didn't do it again in April. So we're allowing those balances to ride, and we'll see what happens. You know, I know that, for instance, you know, we took about a $85,000 hit just in the month of April on past due balances from people, you know, just going out to 90 days, 120 days. We're seeing a lot of creep. But we're encouraging people to contact us to make payment arrangements, and we'll work with them to try and do what we can to work those balances off. It probably can't last forever. We had a couple customers who were upset that we weren't exonerating all the debt, but you know, obviously there are costs that have been incurred at some point. So we do have to pay the bill. We do have to pay the drivers and the disposal and the nice barge that Julie's riding on right now. So we got to pay those bills, but we have chosen to not suspend service for the time being. And I think that'll probably go on for another month or so, and then eventually we'll have to move forward on it.
Okay, thank you. That's great to hear. And yeah, I realize that definitely something that's going to have to happen at some point, but just to hear that it's at least a temporary relief for some people, you know, while they could be temporarily out of work is most excellent of you guys to be doing.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
And we're making an effort to support the businesses as much as possible. We've got some restaurants that we've been buying a lot of food for our drivers just to keep some of the restaurants going as well. So we're doing what we can try and support a lot of the community organizations.
Yep, that's great. Glad to hear.
Great. Any other questions for Derek? All right. So, Kyle, you're going to lead the discussion on the review and discussion of bylaws?
Yeah, I am going to do that. So, mostly this is kind of, I've been discussing with Kim and Travis a little bit, discussing our bylaws and our meeting frequencies and attendance policies and just kind of some overarching goals for the SWAC Commission, and kind of wanting to get some sort of feedback from SWAC members. And my goal kind of by the end of this would be is to develop some sort of survey we can send out to all the SWAC members discussing these sorts of things and, you know, getting an idea of do people like the quarterly meetings? Is that working for you guys? Is it often enough, too infrequent? And also discussing the attendance policy. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to review our bylaws at all, but basically they allow for two absences per year, and is that something we're comfortable with? And besides the attendance and meeting frequencies, I also just kind of want to get some general feedback from board members on how they feel that SWAC is working, what we can do to improve, and things of that nature, I guess. So I'm not really sure how I want to, you know, if you guys want to discuss it now, I think would be great. If you have any feedback you want to give me on meeting frequencies and communications, kind of we talked a little bit about how we meet outside of meetings, you know, is email good for people and those sorts of things. So I'd love to hear feedback from you guys.
Well, going forward, I'm only doing Zoom calls, so that's just going to be it. I refuse to wear anything but shorts anymore, and I think. But I think quarterly meetings have worked well for us over the last period of time, and I think if there's any other information people need, I think we're pretty good about communicating that out and coordinating it.
I kind of feel like we're in Hollywood Squares here, and I kind of want to talk to somebody over here and kind of like. Go for the block. I think the two absences, I think at that time we were meeting monthly when we had kind of the two absence rules. If we're meeting like four times a year, it seems like twice a year missing might be kind of like, I could see maybe changing that maybe to more than once. I don't know.
You know, I have to ask this question, Kim, and maybe I'm going to embarrass myself, but I don't have a copy of the bylaws. Should I? I looked in my folder, and I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, they should have been.
They should be in section two, Tim, behind your roster you got.
Oh, that you sent out today, or
that? No, that you got in your original binder. I don't know if you have that still.
No, I'm looking electronically. I do have the binder here. I can look in it.
Oh, that's right, because you got an electronic. You got yours electronically, right, Tim? I didn't know if you got a binder too.
No, I got a binder also, but I've been just looking at. I pay more attention to what's on the computer is what I've been looking at. So,
if you would like.
Bad. And I've been looking through this LPS or LP SWAC guidance document. I just pulled that up as Kyle was talking to see what that has to share. But I guess I would, should we be reviewing the bylaws and then maybe bring this up again in August so that we're all familiar with what's in it?
Yeah, that's kind of exactly. So that's kind of what I want to get an idea from people is, I haven't been here that long, so I know maybe some people with some history can give me a better idea of when have our bylaws last been updated, you know, or they, you know, did this done recently? Is it been... You know, 10 years, I have no idea. So I was just perusing them and, you know, looking at and talking with people about the kind of meeting regularity and those sorts of things and kind of want to get people's thoughts on the issues.
I have mixed feelings about the meeting regularity. I think Derek's probably right. It's probably frequent enough in terms of taking care of what we need to take care of. You know, the one thing about it is you feel kind of disconnected because 3 months is a long time. But I don't want to meet just for the sake of meeting, so it seems like we have enough.
All right, so this is the copy of the bylaws I've got.
Oh. If you squint, Kim's going to – it looks like Kim is sharing the screen, so that's
– Yeah.
Just real quick because Kim's distracted and I had my hand up for a second. So one of the things that, you know – we've had a lot of turnover. I know since I've started, the bylaws are not something that we've looked at in the last 2.5-3 years since I've started. And I think with the amount of turnover we've had in SWAC, I think, you know, we've have a lot of members that are new in the last year, or even looking at the last 2 years, there's a lot of new SWAC members. I think we've had almost complete, we've had a large number of turnover, of amount of turnover. So this just seems like a good idea to both, the timing seems to – let's get everybody caught up on what the bylaws say. Let the SWAC discuss how things have been going. And then just decide which, if any, parts of the bylaws need to be updated. We should take a look at and how we go about that. So we've had a lot of great conversations, and I know that you guys have all been talking amongst yourselves about, you know, what do we, so it might be helpful. One of the things that we need is we need SWAC to be sort of an early litmus test and, an early gateway to public input. You all represent different bodies of interest in the county, whether it's residents, businesses, agriculture, a specific sector or an industry. So you are our early input process. You all bring to the table a certain amount of authority is not the word, but representation for the people that are in your community. And so the advisory committee is for us to bring projects, goals, strategies, plans to you for your review and your advice and feedback and input, usually early on in the development or the initiation of those projects. And so some questions had come up around, you know, what should our updates for SWAC look like at every SWAC meeting? We want to make it meaningful for everybody that's showing up to be, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for all of you to be, you know, to participate in the civic engagement. So we want to make it so that we're providing enough information for you and that you feel like you have enough consistent communication and resources from us to be able to provide feedback back. So if this seems like, so I think the conversation is with all the turnover, with all the new people, let's look at the bylaws, let's evaluate what they say, let's evaluate how things have been working in the recent past, and let's make whatever changes and tweaks we need to have. Because we want to make sure that this is more than just you guys showing up and listening to us talk about ourselves for 2 hours. We want it to be meaningful, and we want all of you to feel like your time is being used to contribute to a system that's, you know, incredibly important for the residents of this community. So, you know, that's kind of where we started, you know, so familiarity with the bylaws would be great at first, having everybody understand, and then also just an evaluation of, you know, like Derek and Tim were saying, you know, it's there's a balance between quarterly feels very disconnecting, and it can feel disconnecting, but once every other month can feel like too much. So if we decide to stick quarterly, what is that? What is the transmission of information from us to you guys look like? And what are you guys? What does SWAC have as far as capacity to read documents and read plans and participate in projects in between our two big meetings? So really it's just kind of, that's what we need from you. So we want to hear from you, how we can get that out of you, so that everybody gets to participate and everybody feels like they can, contribute. So I'll shut up. I'm just going to keep rambling now. So,
all right. Kim, thank you for sharing your screen.
And if you want me to pull that back up, just let me know.
No. So I've got a version that's 2016, and you've got a more recent version of, I guess, the changes we made.
Yeah, I think that one is 2017.
Right.
I found mine November 2nd, 2017. Unsigned. Go. I got them.
Yep.
Okay. So If I'm paying attention to what Travis is saying and thinking about what Kyle brought up, I guess it's really going back and defining what our responsibility is as members, right? So I'm representing Southeast Clark County. There's probably not anybody in Southeast Clark County that even knows they have a representative, right? And so how do I best serve the community that I'm supposed to be a part of, and what does that really involve? You know, there's some responsibility to let people know of things, but then on the other hand, you know, there's probably not a lot of interest as long as their garbage is getting picked up every week. So, you know, what are our responsibilities, and what does Clark County need from us on a quarterly basis, right?
Yeah.
You know, just to listen to what they do and then give a vote, or what, you know, what is needed.
Tim, what do you recommend?
Well, I got to read the bylaws. And then I think we talk a little bit more about, I mean, is there, we have these which are our rules, but how much does this talk about what our responsibilities are?
Right.
And maybe we can work on defining those more.
Okay.
That makes sense?
I don't have any disagreement.
So, yeah, kind of just to build a little bit off what Trav was saying. Yeah, the bylaws are, I think, you know, important in terms of kind of defining some rules. But what I'm kind of trying to strive more towards building is an interactive meeting. You know, in the past, it seems like a lot of the meetings we have, you know, they come and give us reports and we sit there and we listen to the reports. But how can we, you know, be more engaged and prepared to ask questions and have conversations? It's kind of what I'm striving to build, I guess. So, and I'm not really sure what the best way to do that, you know, and it obviously involves us, you know, coming prepared to meetings. And we talked about this a little bit of getting, it was great having the updates, you know, sent out beforehand by staff so we can review those at our leisure beforehand and not just seeing the piece of paper at the meeting when we show up, you know, being like, okay, I've got to review this really quick and give input on it. So having those, items sent out in advance, I much appreciated from staff. So that's kind of just what I'm trying to build towards is, you know, having a SWAC that's involved in asking questions and having more of a discussion style format than sit there and listen style. So
okay.
I'm definitely building off what Travis was talking about.
Okay.
I think the only thing I would add and to kind of, you know, one of the things we don't expect of you is to, you know, in between meetings, go and talk to a statistically representative sample of your community, right? Like, I don't want Tim to have to go door to door and start, you know, polling people. But, you know, when we look at the applications, when you guys submit applications, and that's, I'm kind of excited about one of the subcommittee conversations on there is when we look at our recruitment and we look at the applications, it's what type of expertise. It's not just that you live in that Southeast area or that you, work for a business or that you are part of a farming program. It's more that there's an application that you have an interest in public involvement. And that you are, whether it's, whether public involvement is a passion or solid waste is the passion or whatever your, whatever passion you're bringing to the table, that there's some type of expertise that we can utilize from this entire group. So our goal is to make sure that you guys are informed enough about our system so that when we bring up something like a rate increase or when we update you on the, you know, when the findings start coming up from the regional system study or when we did the tip fee increase a couple of years ago, that you guys know enough to ask us critical, we want you to critically engage us by asking us questions that we may not have thought of or that we really need to be prepared to answer before bringing this out to the bigger public. So I think that's it, is that it's our goal is to make sure that you have enough information to be able to show up and have the dialogue like Kyle was talking about and really be that first line to make sure that, you know, we're going to bring you guys minimum viable products, which is we're not ready to launch it, but we're pretty good, or we have a pretty good idea of what we want it to look like. And we're going to bring those to you. And we want you to know enough that you can give us some early feedback on preventing us from doing something or making products and services that people really need. So in some sense, you're right, Tim. I don't think a lot of people know that they have representatives. And so, that kind of gives you that opportunity to, you know, think like step back and look, what would other people want to know about this? Or, you are a member of the public that's using the service. So if we bring this to just this group, it gives us an opportunity to vet our ideas and what we've developed and to shape it into something that if you guys are okay with it, that we feel more confident bringing it out in iterations to the public. So that, I mean, that's kind of the role that we really want you to fill. And I'll let anybody else, if anybody wants to expand on the role, I'm going to mute myself again. I know Kim's hand was up, but just to what you guys see as your role, if any of that is still confusing or if you want to talk some more about that.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that. One of the things that Don Everson, previous SWAC member, liked to do and he thought it was insightful was to actually attend other SWAC meetings. So he would go up to Seattle and attend their meetings and brought back, you know, quite a bit of information and obviously learning about other programs, and it just kind of helps to have that cross-program network. And one of the things, I just looked on their website, time commitment. So their meetings are once a month, and then it has a description. Members spend from 8 to 10 hours per month on committee work, which includes attending the monthly meeting, researching and commenting on specific issues or reports, and participating in field trips. So that just gives you sort of a scope of what another SWAC committee, you know, their scope of work. So,
and that's something I think Stephen and Kyle, we talked a little bit about, or maybe came up, is that,
yeah,
you know, I had originally talked about going to SWAC meetings, but I really feel, you know, after talking to some people, kind of figured it would probably be best if we got some SWAC members to also attend and bring that information back rather than me dictating. So we do have standing invites, and I'd be very interested. I can reach out to other, counties to see if they've gone virtual with their SWAC, because it'd be a lot easier to attend a meeting in Spokane County virtually than so I think that would be something I would put to Stephen and Kyle and the rest of the SWAC on, like, you know, that is an opportunity we have to better inform what we want this to look like. So thank you for bringing that up, Simone.
Yeah, that was definitely something we discussed prior, you know, attending some other SWAC meetings. You know, this was a few months ago, which feels like a lifetime ago, and it was like, okay, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And then the whole COVID thing hit and SWAC meetings have kind of imploded. But yeah, that, Travis, that might be a great idea about, yeah, maybe we can not even have to travel to a SWAC meeting and see what other people are doing. I mean, like, shortcut it. That's great. So, and I also like what you mentioned, Simone, about some maybe like all, when things are obviously more calm and the social distancing is done, but like maybe an all SWAC sort of field trip or something like that, you know, in between meetings. If we're not going to have a formal meeting, we could establish sort of an all SWAC field trip to go do some, I don't know what we could brainstorm some ideas, but just sort of ways to build that connectivity we talked about. Because one of my problems with the quarterly meetings is I feel like I barely know you guys, you know, and we're supposed to have these giant broad reaching discussions, and I like see you, you're like a stranger, like I barely recognize you in the store, you know. So, and that's part of the turnover is another issue we've had with that, in terms of just new people coming in all the time. It's hard to build that connectivity, I feel like. So I think the field trips is maybe just something you touched on a little bit would be great in terms of building that connectivity. And I'm not sure if that's something other SWAC members would be interested in doing, something like that, you know.
Prior field trips that we've had, as you know, the committee have been to obviously our own facilities, the facilities in the community, mm-hmm. And tours, and kind of learning about the processes. And the one I really wanted to go on was, I think, Kim, you took a group over to the landfill. Wasn't it like an all-day trip? Yeah, and so those, I think, are really informative.
Eric, do you have any live feeds out at your landfill? We'll have to take a virtual tour. I know you have cameras up at your transfer stations right now to show traffic, but do you have? Could we spend a SWAC looking at all your virtual cameras?
It's just a bunch of seagulls.
Okay.
And dirt.
I love the idea of looking at the traffic. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, and we're always happy to help educate people. I think some of the things that is good for SWAC, I mean, there's obviously there's the operations component of the solid waste system, which, you know, we can get you out on a route collection truck so you can kind of see what things look like from that view, transfer stations, the landfills, and then there's kind of the regulatory piece, you know, that's important, and then, you know, the legal side of things as well. So there's a lot of elements to it, and I think, you know, the notion of going to see other venues, other jurisdictions, how they handle it, you know, no two are alike. And I think that's good to just create additional ideas for the group. And, you know, and I've always valued, I know SWAC over the years, when we've had the most public engagement is when we've had, you know, difficult situations, whether it's, you know, some, you know, oddball landfill issues, you know, illegal dumping going on, kind of things like that. It, you know, last year we had section, I always want to call it Area 54 or whatever, but whatever it was down in the southeast side there, you know, we had 40 or 50 people from the community actually show up to a SWAC meeting when we've had probably that many people in total over 10 years. But it was great to see the group be able to represent and communicate with the people and really handle that situation really well. I thought that was really impressive. But you know, we're always happy to help and give people more eyeballs on what's going on, you know, directly.
I was just curious, Simone, did you say that you guys went and toured a landfill? Was that up at Roosevelt?
No, Lord, no. That place is horrible.
Oh, okay.
Kim, where was the trip?
Well, we went to Finley Butte Landfill, as well as Wasco County, which are both Waste Connections landfills where we go. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if that was the same trip. We might have also stopped at Dirt Hugger compost facility, or that it might have been another one that we've had.
That was a separate one.
Yeah.
We followed the way, you know, the Clark County garbage flow, which is, you know, goes by barge out to Finley Buttes or by truck to Wasco. We visited those. And I think Dirt Hugger, a lot of people have been to that for organics as well. So.
I'm sorry, Derek, your phone kept breaking up there. Did you say Wasco?
Yeah, Wasco County Landfill, which is right outside the Dalles.
Yeah,
Wasco. And then Finley Buttes is out just south of Boardman.
Yep.
So everything's barged out to Boardman and trucked down to the landfill out there or trucked directly to Wasco County Landfill.
Oh, good to know. Thank you. Sorry, I just had to ask.
Maybe so, along with our quarterly meetings, maybe we have some type of a workshop. I mean, I don't feel a strong need to go out and see a landfill myself. I've seen a few before, but I am interested in knowing more about the operations and really having, you know, understanding that. And the regulatory piece is pretty significant too, I'm sure. I know that most of the time I'm able to at least understand or follow what the county's telling us what's going on. But I know a few times, Kim, when we were pasting stuff up on the board that one time, there were some things where I just didn't know enough about, you know, I didn't know enough to have an opinion, right? And so, you know, maybe we do these quarterly meetings, but maybe we have a day-long workshop or something like that where we're getting educated on the operation system and we're spending time together also so we can get to know each other a little bit, something like that.
Well, and I think in the next year or so, I mean, there's going to be a critical opportunity for SWAC to be engaged in, you know, the roadmap for the solid waste system in Clark County, you know, for the next decade to 20 years. So I think, you know, now is a great time really to up the ante on what's being provided and engaged on the SWAC level. So.
Yeah, because once we get into updating that solid waste management plan, probably sometime in 2021, we do meet monthly, and it would be I like the idea of a workshop, Tim. Any opportunity to gather in a different room and have snacks and presentations is always great. But I think it could be a tutorial. We could definitely do something like that because having everybody caught up as best as possible to our system and all of the things we look at will make that solid waste management plan process a lot easier. And given the fact that we're probably a ways out from being able to jump into a van with everybody and drive to see any of our facilities, you know, maybe we can set something up virtually or we can hold off a little bit and see. But I like that workshop idea. Even if it's a part day, if people can do something like that, just to make it convenient for people to get all caught up to speed with everything we use to make our decisions. So I like that.
Yeah, I would second that. That workshop idea is something I hadn't really thought about and would be something that, yeah, prepping us for that solid waste plan might be something we could have in a workshop to kind of get some foundational understandings of things that I know that I personally don't have, having not been in the industry at all in the past. So that might be something that we could work with staff on doing.
So what I'm hearing, though, I'm hearing that it would probably be good for what we can do right now. And I don't, you know, Kyle, if you want to talk again, let me know. But I'm thinking what I'm hearing is just that people would like time to review the bylaws, and maybe would it be acceptable, and I'll let you guys decide what the expectations are, but would it be acceptable between now and our next meeting to have people review the bylaws, provide comments, and maybe send them to, you know, if somebody wants to take lead on that, is to review the bylaws, provide comments, questions, and we can, you know, if Kyle wants to be, or if there's a contact person, everybody can send those to. That way we have a good framework to start the conversation next time. So maybe taking a look at that, the bylaws, and then some of the questions, the specific questions that were put forward around meeting frequency, attendance policy, what type of communications that people would like to see before SWAC and in between SWACs. And then there was an idea of a survey. So maybe, I don't know, Kyle or Kim, if we could put something together to send out to everybody to like some homework between now and the next SWAC meeting so that we're all caught up on the same page by the next time we meet and can start to create a series of decisions.
Yeah, and the chair and vice chair also have the option to request a special meeting. So if people send in their suggested edits and everything and everybody's ready to meet, you can even meet and make a decision prior to the next SWAC meeting. I just wanted to make sure you all knew that you had that option as well.
Can I make one more comment on the bylaws and rules? So I do have them now, and I've been perusing through them here. I found my notebook, and they're in there. And it looks to me like they're about attendance responsibility, meeting frequency, things like that. But there's a statement up here that says, the powers, purpose, and scope of the Clark County SWAC shall be limited to those described in chapters blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah of the Clark County Code. So I'm wondering if we can't pull out some relevant information from that code or from state code or something, have something that really talks about the purpose of the SWAC, why there is a SWAC, not just because we're required to have one, but what our responsibilities are to the county and what the county's expectations are of us along with these rules. So we understand what we're doing on this committee.
Okay. Copies of those codes should be in your binder. From my experience reading them, they are kind of just as vague. And my interpretation of them has been that it's kind of, we're required to have them, especially for the enforcement side in reviewing per incoming permits. And also SWAC is required to be a part of the solid waste management plan. But other than that, it's pretty open as to what the SWAC wants to be. So it's really exciting that you all are having this conversation.
Maybe we need to define that a little more ourselves then.
Yep.
In conjunction with county staff.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tim. That's kind of what I'm hoping and trying to work towards is, yeah, getting that sort of definition and buy-in of what we can be doing as members, you know. So I think I do agree with Travis going forward that possibly, you know, working on getting some feedback from you guys in an email form, I'd be happy to head that up and kind of continuing this discussion a little bit and then also doing that bylaws review.
I think another thing, Tim, like what you just said and before, is that I think Kim and I and the rest of our team can probably pull together something real quick, but I think we can paraphrase my rambling into a few phrases around really this is what we want. This is what we need from our SWAC, and it's more than a legal requirement, but it's, you know, putting some clear definition to how we feel we could best use a SWAC. And make sure that's a living document because we'll learn by seeing other SWACs and we'll learn as we go forward. But I think we can probably, before this process starts, put together a brief statement that helps you all understand how our program perceives the benefit and the value of having all of you be the first line or one of the first lines of reviewing that we have. And I think just for information's sake is that we also have another. It's called the Regional Solid Waste System Steering Committee. It's SWAC adjacent, but it's a similar group to SWAC in that it's a first line of planning and input for all of our stakeholders. It's made up of all the public works directors from the cities and town that we represent. So when we talk to SWAC about things, we very often take that information to our other steering committee as well. So that, you know, we've vetted it with our public representation, which is the SWAC, as well as our municipal representation, which is the steering committee. And we're also going to be looking at having similar conversations with that steering committee that we're having with this group, is how do we best deliver the information to you in order to get what we need out of you in a way that everybody can, that is clear. So
are those public meetings, Travis?
I don't. Kim is shaking her head no. I don't know the legality of the public. I'm going to err on the side of Kim.
I don't. They're just internal stakeholder meetings. They aren't intended for public comments or required in any RCWs. It's something that has evolved from our interlocals, between the county and all the cities as a body that we can all work together under.
So is there any thought or any need or any, or does it make any sense to have some cross-pollination between the two committees? You know, does it have a SWAC member sit on that committee or anything like that? Or have one of us attend those meetings and listen in so we know what they're saying or anything like that?
I think that's a good question. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. There is another, we have talked about, you know, that cross-pollination, Tim, with the Public Health Advisory Committee. It's not over our program, but it's over the rest of the public health department. But now that we're in public health and a lot of things that we do, we did talk, Kim and I have talked about possibly having some cross-pollination. We'd need to look more at the structure of that group, whether it be more regularly updating you with, you know, we meet with them once or twice a year. So I think that's something we can explore. I don't really have a good answer. I don't know. We'd have to bring that to that group and kind of get their sense as well. So.
Hey, couple more things real quick and then I'll shut up. Kyle, if you need any help, you want any help, please let me know. I'm happy to help. And, second, I like learning from others, right? If there are other SWAC committees going on, especially now if they're on Zoom, and I'd love to attend them and just see what they're doing, learn more about what others are doing. I'm sure that will help us a lot in figuring out what we want to be doing.
I'll reach out tomorrow. I've got a phone call with a state phone call with other counties, so I will try my best to remember to ask that question. It starts early, so I'm not usually all there. But I will try to ask that question and get a sense of what virtual SWAC meetings exist that we can participate in. So.
Okay, just no Seattle.
What? Who said what?
No Seattle.
No. Tell us. Do you want to explain, Derek? Tell me more about that.
They just have a very diverse program, and I like our nice, tight program.
So it sounds like we need to make Seattle the priority SWAC meeting.
Agreed.
There's also this level SWAC that I know is virtual because I pop into that one every now and then. So it's a little bit different because it's off the state level instead of the county level, but it's very similar.
And that state meeting is another one we've talked about having some cross-pollination is not the word, but we've talked about trying to find a part of this conversation too that we need to have is just making sure that we understand everybody's capacity. We don't want to start assigning stuff and then have all of you feel overwhelmed and then quit on us because we're running you into the ground. So I think we'll prioritize, you know, these other committees and participation in those. The statewide SWAC would be a really good one, I think, somebody for this group to participate in. But Kim and I can get the schedule for that and share that just so you can watch in and listen. So.
Okay. All right. Kyle, anything else from you?
No, I think I'm good to move on to our next items if other people are as well.
Okay. All right. So who's got comment on subcommittees?
So I can go ahead and lead us off here since I was kind of the one who created this agenda and brought this up. So there's been, I know in the past we've had discussions about the legislative/policy subcommittee, and I know that Jason wrote that letter for us last couple months ago. So my hope was that Jason, we could get him some assistance and get some volunteers to join him on that policy subcommittee. And just when, with the policy things, it seems like having this last experience is generally those sorts of things are happening very quickly. So having a smaller legislative slash policy subcommittee who could respond rapidly kind of on behalf of SWAC, you know, and develop those, you know, letters or whatever staff is kind of looking at us to do would be, I think, a good idea to have, just because it'd be a little more nimble than all of us, you know, trying to get buy-in. I know when we did that email chain last time, it took a little bit of time, and time is of the essence. So I don't know what other people's thoughts are on trying to get that up and running a little bit more with someone other than just Jason spearheading.
How many people do we think we want on that committee? 2, 3, 4? More than one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say no more than 3.
One of the things, and I'm just going to throw this out there, one of the things that we do at the state level for our group is that we have our statewide county group, and they have a policy. They basically have a lobbyist. So what they will do is, and for that case, it would be Jason at the head of that pyramid's not it, but the top of that. And what happens is that, you know, so what that would look like is that Jason or somebody would bring, we would help kind of filter out all of the solid waste specific issues that are on the table in legislation that year. And we would bring it to the group early enough that the group could agree on some positions for, let's say there's 5 bills. And the group could prioritize like this is the most important one. And here is our position. But also here's our position on the other 4. And then what that does is it gives Jason and whoever is there an opportunity to – the group has already decided what the position is. And that gives Jason and whoever a chance to – if there's movement on that or if there's a call to action, it eliminates that need for a whole – for back and forth if the group has already decided, unless there's a change in what's going on. So for example, the WACS, the funding bill that you guys wrote a letter on, which by the way, that was awesome. We almost got all the way back up to funding, and then the governor vetoed it after the coronavirus started, so we lost all of our money again. So I'm guessing that will be on the table here soon again. But that way, you know, if the SWAC's position is, for example, we want to see increased MODCA funding without restructuring the way that it's funded, then that gives Jason an opportunity to come up to Olympia with this at the last moment or write another letter or send emails out to people without needing to come back to the group to reassess the opinion. So that might be a way we could structure it this time, this year, is kind of get a head start on drafting positions, which might be a way to give Jason and whoever a little bit more leeway in acting on behalf of the SWAC without needing to check in regularly. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Travis, I think that would be a much more streamlined process than what we went through this last time. I know for one, I'd be willing to volunteer to help Jason out if we could get one other member. I think, yeah, with a board of 9 people, I think 3 probably maximum would be the number I'd be looking at. I'm not sure if other people have differing opinions on that, though.
I'm happy to help also. Sign me up.
Go.
All right.
Jason, is there anything? Oh.
I was just going to say this last go-around was definitely a good learning experience for us. It was a shortened legislative session to begin with, and then just due to schedule restraints, constraints and stuff like that, sitting down with Travis and Kim was a little bit later than initially we would like. So, yes, it was a scramble, and yes, there was a lot of, you know, back and forth emails, and it seemed a little unorganized at times, per se, but it's definitely a good learning experience for our first go-around and stuff like that, and we'll just grow from there on it.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks again for doing that, Jason, and yeah, I think, like you said, it was a good learning experience for all of us. I had never been a part of any process like that, so like you said, we're all trying to learn, and I think that if we do have this active committee and, like Travis said, we can get those policy agreements in advance of the session and then, you know, rapid reaction kind of team, so to speak. So, okay. The next thing I want to discuss was the recruitment subcommittee. There has been some discussion between Steve, myself, and staff, and then I talked a little bit with Simone about this, is just trying to get, we currently have a vacant position, and we've had a little bit of, I don't know, I want to say trouble filling it, but also filling it, but also filling it with the right types of people, and just trying to make a little bit more diverse SWAC, and reaching out, and how are we finding people, and how are we targeting these recruitments? It's like, Tim, you talked about earlier, you know, most people don't even know that a SWAC exists. So recruiting people to become a part of SWAC is definitely, I think, something that takes a little more effort on our part as members to reach out to the right groups. And I was talking to some people, and one of the groups they mentioned we could maybe reach out to is like Leadership Clark County. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that group at all, but there's a lot of people involved in that who might be interested in, you know, they're a very civic-minded group who we could, you know, reach out to. Just groups like that, and brainstorming between all of us, and maybe actually creating a committee whose job it is to kind of brainstorm where are we posting these openings and positions, and are we hitting the right demographics and groups to get a good, diverse candidate pool.
Where are they posted now, Kim? I've seen it in different places, but.
Yeah, so we do a news release. Like our standard thing that we do for a lot of stuff is we do a news release about it. I send it to you all. I send it to the distribution list for Slack. We post it on Nextdoor, on Facebook, and I think we post it on Instagram as well. And that's kind of the extent that's our usual methods. For some of the positions, I've done a little extra. So like the agricultural position, I reached out to the Farm Bureau and a few other organizations related to agriculture. But that's just because I have a little bit of knowledge in that field. But for some of these other positions, I'm not very knowledgeable and know where and who and all the players, and it's a lot of extra work for me to figure that out. And so any assistance in getting the message out and recruiting, there's a lot to be said about word of mouth. So if you all reach out to individuals, that it gets a lot farther than kind of the shotgun method and hoping it hits somewhere. So I look forward to a recruitment committee that can sort of lead that and join forces to figure out everywhere that we can reach out to.
Hey, Kim. I was just thinking one of the places we may want to reach out to, as I mentioned earlier, I was a returning student back, you know, 8-10 years ago now, at WSU, and there's an awful lot of people, especially some of the older students at WSU, that are really looking to build resumes. I know it, you know, you don't want to just, you know, call it a resume building opportunity, but it kind of is. And so I think, you know, say the College of Business at WSU, there may be, like I said, I wouldn't want a 20-year-old, you know, graduate, but you know, there, like I said, there's an awful lot of 30-year-olds that I think would probably get a kick out of sitting on it, on the committee.
Okay.
I think if we align the outreach with community-based organizations, because when I think of, you know, how SWAC should represent the community, I think it should represent a broad spectrum of folks, and I would love to see more diversity, and I would like to see, you know, I think those types of groups have a more rich perspective and can bring the community's voice forward in a more well-formed manner. So in my job, I'm a diversity, equity, and inclusion lead for a utility program, and I do have quite a few connections to organizations, and that's how we network and kind of share resources in terms of contacts and and spreading the word. So those are good ways to really bring in candidates that, you know, maybe were unaware prior to our engagement in that way. So
yeah, Simone, I agree. We definitely, that's kind of something I've been wanting to look at too, is just increasing our outreach, you know, and breadth of who we're getting, you know, in terms of applicant pool we're getting. I know a lot of people aren't connected in with, you know, that the sorts of, you know, newspapers and that sort of thing. That's missing a very broad group of people, you know, that's very narrow, especially nowadays on the newspaper. So if we could have a few people who would just, you know, be helping Kim, I think the way I look at this committee would be someone like when we have an opening, those few groups of members would be basically working with Kim on helping to, you know, reach these different brainstorming ideas on where we can be posting these positions and reaching out to those areas. I don't think it'd be something that we would need people actively doing all the time. It'd just be when we sort of had vacant positions come up, you know, we could get these few groups of people involved with Kim and getting some more outreach out there. And, you know, like, oh, you guys have already thrown out ideas. I never thought of that. You know, WSU, all these other places where if we all work together, we'd definitely have some more outreach in terms of getting a good applicant pool.
Right. I agree. I was thinking specifically for vacancies.
Yeah, and just a resource that might be possible that we can learn from is this idea came from our public health advisory committee has a recruitment pool. They're a much larger committee. They have a lot more, school districts. They have a lot more health representation at the table, so they're a bigger group. But they have three or four people who, when a vacancy comes up, they assemble and identify the skills and the representation that they need within that certain vacancy. And really try to recruit and then also take part in the evaluation of the applicants. Cause right now the applicants just come to us. We internally make decisions and then we go out. Whereas their advisory committee recruitment subcommittee is a little bit more involved in the committee makes a recommendation to bring forward to the council versus it just happening between Kim and I and Mike. When we get a chance, or this last round finding time where mostly Kim did that work. Not that Kim can't, but Kim could work with a group of people within the SWAC to help evaluate, you know, assuming we get 1 to 2 applications normally, so it's not usually a huge application pool, but we would like to see more and be able to have the SWAC members engaged in evaluating the applications as well for really what we're looking for, whatever that might be.
What are some of the main challenges that we hear when we're out recruiting? I mean, I know solid waste is an extremely sexy industry and title, and people, you know, why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? But, you know, what are we confronted with? Is it just purely the kind of the industry and everything else, or are there other pieces?
I think it's just It's a commitment asking people to do this, right? I mean, all of you are here with us on a Thursday night and, you know, getting together with us, and there's time commitments outside of this to learn. But I think like Simone had mentioned a little bit, it's an access thing. How do we really, you know, it's a similar problem to what we have with our general outreach. How do we reach the public that doesn't know about us and that we really need to reach because our current outreach and education just doesn't get to them? And I think it's the same thing is how do we get people more involved in civic engagement? I think to some extent we're running up against just the limitation of people actually wanting to step up and participate. But I think if we're reaching a broader, you know, we're publishing it in the paper, we're putting it largely, we're talking maybe to our choir.
Are other entities and other voluntary agencies similar to this? Are they having the same challenge where they're having trouble finding people?
You know, like I know the Public Health Advisory Committee maybe gets 1 or 2 applications for their vacancies. But they have larger pools that they're able to send things out to. They're all facing the same challenges. We're all competing for people that are in all of our government advisory committees are competing for people to participate. you know, so we just, you know, how do we convince people that it's worth their while, that they can actually participate, that they can actually be heard and have a say based on their community, is kind of the big challenge. I don't know, Kim, if you want to highlight anything else.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, well, it sounds like Rich has something to say too, but yeah, we do compete with others. I would say statewide though, we do a pretty good job with our SPAC as far as, I think solid waste in general, like you kind of mentioned, it's not something that people really are maybe aware of what that even is. And then once they learn, you know, that it's about, you know, recycling and sustainable materials management, stuff like that, people gain more interest. And so it's about marketing it the right way. But like Simone was saying, and Travis mentioned too, about like it's that access thing. So it's like, how do we reach people that aren't in our already the choir or are already overextended? But folks that we haven't been able to reach to before in different ways that we haven't been able to explore before.
I'm kind of wondering if we do have like a recruitment committee, if that carries some weight when it, because I know the council decides on who gets appointed, and I'm wondering if we can kind of say, here's some candidates and here's the recruitment committee's recommendation on what we need in terms of diversity or what would kind of help round out kind of the perspectives that we have.
Yeah, that would be helpful for SWAC to have their own recruitment and be able to, you know, say those things to, so yeah, like you said. Currently, the way it's set up, for those that don't know, I just want to recap, especially since Joe's new. So the county council appoints members to SWAC. The normal process is actually the applicants do it to them, and then they just select whoever applies. We've interjected ourselves a long time ago, we did, to where staff gets to at least review those and then makes a formal recommendation to county council. And then the council, we've never had them not go with our recommendation. So we're already a step ahead. And so this would make it even better if there was a recruitment committee that could then, like you said, say the message to the council that this is what the body of the public that's represented in as SWAC wants on this committee. That would hold a lot more weight than even staff's recommendation.
So I don't know, Kyle or Kim or Stephen, are we looking for a decision today? Is this something you want to explore a little bit more? Are you looking for people that are interested, or what are you looking for today just so we make sure that we give you what you needed?
Yeah, I kind of, what I was looking for is, you know, just, I think we don't need, obviously, I'm not going to hold anyone to the fire and say, hey, we need two members on this today. But I think that, you know, is this something that I mean, do we personally as a board think this is even a necessary thing for starters, now that we've discussed it a little bit? And if we do think it's necessary, how many members, you know, what is it, what is the makeup of it, you know, and who would be willing to participate, I guess, you know? Do we need to decide that today? No. Would it be nice? Yeah, we only meet every 3 months.
I'd like to interject here. It might be helpful if we created a framework of what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, it doesn't have to be something that is set in stone. But if we have some idea, because right now, you know, it may be vague to some of the folks that, you know, what are we trying to do? What solutions do we propose to accomplish this? Does that make sense, Kyle?
I was just going to say, yeah, that makes sense. I guess that's kind of what I was trying to, that's kind of the framework is what I was trying to get in place today, just putting this on the agenda. We haven't discussed it in the past, and it's been something else staff's been curious about having, and me as well, so.
I'll take responsibility for putting together an outline and sending it out to people so you can take a look at it.
I do need today, as far as this goes, a recommendation to me on how to move forward with our latest recruitment. We did put that out there to the public twice now. And according to the bylaws, that position is supposed to be filled in 60 days. It's obviously been much longer than that. and which is fine. The council's office has messaged me asking for an update on, because I did tell them that we were going to bring this up at this meeting, and so they're just wanting to know what we plan to do. And I'd like to send that email out tomorrow if possible, just an update of we are moving forward with the applicant that applied, or SWAC is going to decide by, you know, X date or something to give them so they know that something's happening.
Okay. All right. I'll put something together for you.
So what do you need, Kim? You just need to decide whether we're going to have a recruitment committee or not. I mean, would that be enough for you?
For me?
Yeah. No, for Kim.
Oh.
Yeah,
I mean, we need to make a decision that we're going to form this committee, right?
Yeah, I think if we could, if you all could formally approve or something like that, some sort of formal thing, that action that happens today, that I can pass along to council so they know something official is happening with this vacancy, because open vacancies don't look good. And so they want to know what's happening with it. So I think today, if you could vote whether or not to move forward with the applicant pool we already have, or form a recruitment committee that's going to make a decision by whenever, or just something that I can pass along tomorrow to them with an update from this meeting.
Okay.
So if we can decide that we're going to do it, then Stephen, yeah, then you would be putting the framework for that committee together. Right?
I'll draft up something for you guys to take a look at, and I'll send it out tomorrow, and you can take a look and see if you like it.
So do I like the idea of having these subcommittees.
Say that again?
Because I was just going to say I like these subcommittees because it gives people it makes number one, this subcommittee is going to help take the load off Kim for getting people on our committee. And then secondly, it just gives people, you know, we have responsibilities, right, within our group.
So I guess kind of just to tie things up, are we in agreement that this is a committee that is needed and warranted, I guess, you know? And we could then say to council, hey, we've started this recruitment subcommittee. We're working on the framework for that committee. So once we have that, we're going to then, I guess, do we want to re-post and kind of have this committee do this sort of recruitment and help him out? Or do we want to move ahead with the one applicant and, you know, for future vacancies, we'll have this committee up and running, I guess, is kind of what I would like us to decide.
Yeah, if someone could make a motion, I think that would be the best
one. I'll make a motion. And I'll support whatever Kyle wants.
Okay, so I would make the motion that we create this recruitment subcommittee, and that the recruitment subcommittee would then, you know, repost the position and, you know, try to work on getting these broader base of applicants that we kind of discussed tonight.
Okay. All in favor? Everybody raises their hand. Good. All right. I'll make it happen. I'll put together something for you to review tomorrow morning.
And Stephen, I'm going to start hunting for it now, but one of the things that I will do is the Public Health Advisory Committee just started to review their process for their recruitment committee and outlining their process. So that might be a document that you might be able to refer to. So I'll find that while we're chatting here and send
that
to you. Yeah.
Yeah, send it to me. Okay. All right. Anything else for this topic? All right. Mike Davis, you're going to report to us on the regional system study.
And I think real quick before Mike jumps in, I'll let Mike get his microphone set up. One of the things that this was a request from SWAC is an updated scope of work and an updated timeline. There have been some developments in the project, not a lot that we're ready to bring to SWAC to review, but really wanted to make sure that you had a chance to look at the scope of work and the schedule and really ask any questions or get any clarification, because those documents and what you had requested is really in order to prepare us for being caught up to speed on the information when it does come time to review the plans and everything. So I don't know, Mike, if you want to start with questions from SWAC based on the scope of work that was sent and the schedule, or if you want to give an update and then, but just to remind people, that was a request. So
yeah, so basically, we're not really ready to make a lot of comments on what we've got. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen a lot of these client review drafts sort of mature to the point where we're kind of got bombed with a bunch of them. And so came in a bad time for me with other work being done out at the landfill. So I'm kind of a stopping point on some of this right now. You can see where from the schedules that Chris Lee sent us from J.R. Miller that, you know, there's a lot of county pending reviews that have to happen and then get those comments back to them. I expect that within the next couple of weeks, we'll work through a number of those. The one that we're probably still lagging behind on and sort of held us up was the financial review. And that was far more complex in dealing with that in setting the time aside with Waste Connection staff, which Derek's staff did a great job in helping us out. Waste Connections has also been reviewing a lot of the site information being provided by J.R. Miller. And we're looking at some various scenarios now for potentially expanding at CTR, and we're still in those discussions. So we're behind where we had anticipated to be at this point, but it's really starting to come together. And I would expect within a month or so, we're going to see more finalized and completed documents. That at a certain point, they will collate all that into a draft report. And so we're not there yet, but we're moving along. And so I think chapter three or task three, which is the where we get into the public self-haul, that's where we're going to have a lot of discussions about the options and what we've learned about that. And I think SWAC's going to play a real role in particularly deciding how we try to manage that self-haul and rein it in a little bit. And there's some options that have come out and others that have kind of been shot down. So, but right now we need to do one more final review internally, and then that needs to go back to Waste Connections for their review. And, you know, so we're, like I said, the materials are coming out. We're getting an opportunity finally to really take a look at them, but we're still a ways out. I'd say we're easily a month to a month and a half behind. And part of that, of course, is what we're dealing with the COVID and just this transition to remote work with, you know, impacting all the projects that I've been working on as well as this one.
Okay.
So that's about my update for now. Do you guys have any other questions on that?
I don't.
So, Mike, this schedule that you handed out that says 4/30/20 is on target now, or we're a month to a month and a half behind this schedule?
Well, I'd say compared to the original contract, you know, we've adjusted it, and that's based on some of the things. Let me see if I can pull that back up here real quick.
I'd had most of task three done by right about now, 1st of May.
We're close. Complete.
Are you asking what, Tim, could you say your question again?
Well, so the schedule that was sent out yesterday, is that accurate?
Fairly close to where we're at now.
Okay.
They redid the schedule for us after the last meeting, so probably in February, and some things have slipped and moved around and reorganized. So, I don't think I could definitely pass it. It could pass a 100% accurate test, but it's the most up-to-date schedule, and we're fairly confident in it. So
it's closest it's going to get for right now because it's still a pretty fluid situation. Let me see if I can find that. There's task report.
Well, that's understandable. I'm not looking for the exact day. Just want to, when you were talking about a month to a month and a half, whether that's reflected in this or not.
It is, yeah. I'm looking. And, I'm of course, pulled up the wrong one. There was two of them. And the one that kind of shows you, you know, basically complete or in progress, that's one that we've sent out to. I'm not sure exactly what Kim sent out. Where's the other one? There it is, phase four schedule. All right.
Also share it on the screen if you would like me to.
So let me scroll. Which one did you send out, Kim? You'd send them both out?
Yeah, that's the one I got.
Okay. So, yeah, this is, like I said, pretty much the closest. And we've got, like I said, we've got some good task two is, you know, a critical part of the projections for the solid waste management plan. And it's also really important to determine what happens in task four as far as what we need to do for potentially expanding central or other facilities, it's, you know, to deal with the capacity. But as you can see, task three is the one that's really going to be, I think, important for us to deal with, and it's something that we can bring to the board in the short term out of this. As Derek will attest, we've had a lot of traffic at Central with this COVID stay at home. They didn't exactly stay at home. They decided to come to the transfer facilities, but in reality, it was nothing new on weekends. We just saw a lot more during the week. And so we've looked at these subtasks listed there, and we're pretty close. So we just need to send the final client review draft over to Waste Connections, and that should be finalized hopefully next week. And, you know, like I said, then they'll come down at some point and they'll start into the draft plan phase or draft report phase and start to collate all of this. But there are portions of this we're probably going to want to bring to you for subcommittee review. And that task three is one of them.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not for me.
No, you know, I wanted to say to Slack that I don't know if anybody else is or not, but I'm one of the ones who have been pushing for us to have a copy of the scope of work. It's not clear to me in attending the SWAC meetings how much the SWAC is aware of how significant a project this is. And I mean, it'll be a lot of big, this is a pretty meaty thing you guys are taking on and doing. A lot of big change.
It's probably the most comprehensive review of the system that we've done in my 20 years here. I mean, it really, as Travis mentioned, it could impact us for the next 20 years. And that's the goal of our planning horizon is that, you know, our statutory, I don't want to call it authority, but our, you know, our role is to, plan for the system for 20 years. And right now we are at the peak of what this system can handle. So really, we've got a lot of decisions to make. Some of those will roll into the negotiations with Waste Connections on how we're going to do this. Some of it has to do with, you know, just straight solid waste management plan actions and recommendations. So you're going to see a lot of this. As Travis mentioned, I think probably later in the years when we're really going to start to get into the meat and potatoes of, you know, what's coming out now.
So take time to read that scope when you get a chance, folks. It's interesting. There's a lot of big stuff in there.
And I will say, for those of you that are newer to SWAC, as an example of what we have done with SWAC in the past and engaging was, Tim was the subcommittee. We brought the proposal to SWAC a while ago, and Tim and Rich in multiple roles, but participated in the selection of J.R. Miller. So reviewing all of our proposals for this project, sat in all the meetings and was part of the county team that helped pick the vendor and evaluated the project plan. So that's just an example for those of you that weren't around when that happened of some of the ways that the SWAC has been involved in the recent past with some projects. So, just to kind of share some examples. So.
Thanks, Mike.
So, yeah, if you have some specific questions after you've reviewed the SWAC, just let us know and route those through Kim, and then she'll get them to me.
Okay. All right. Any other comments for today's meeting?
I have a comment. If we have just a couple of minutes to share in other business.
Yeah.
Okay. So I attended a workshop virtually with the Oregon, on the Oregon side, with their Department of Environmental Quality. Mm-hmm. And they have a repair and reuse grant that looked really cool. Now, I know this is through the state, but I thought if I could share it for a minute, just real quickly, my screen, would that be all right with everybody?
Sure.
Okay. So you see my screen? Sorry, there's things in the way here. The grant opportunity?
Yeah.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're having a, or putting out a grant for workforce development, but it's tied to recycling and reuse. And I'll stop moving my screen here. But it is geared toward small reuse and repair businesses. And it allows for the business, the grant is $10,000, and it's basically to, as you can see, retention training and capital equipment. And it's also, they're gearing it toward small businesses in rural communities as well as diverse communities. Mm-hmm. So I just thought this was a really cool program where it kind of aligns with, you know, the repair cafe kind of idea, but some of the grant recipients last year were really successful in utilizing those funds, gearing them toward workforce development aspect. And I just wanted to share with you that, and thought it was really kind of cool. So
cool.
Great if our state, you know, even, I don't know how they, if there's anything like that, you know, in our state, but I just thought it was a great opportunity.
Great.
So Simone, just kind of tagging onto that, I know that within our plan, we do have like a chapter that talks about kind of the economic opportunities within recycling, and there was some analysis done there. So if folks haven't reviewed the plan lately, that might be one piece to kind of look into.
Thank you. And the other thing they mentioned as an agency is they're revisiting or revamping their recycling. They're kind of moving away from recycling. And I've got some links I can share with you, but it's a totally, they have a committee formed and they're kind of evaluating the current situation, you know, the globally in terms of the challenges. And so they're looking into rebuilding their programs based on those conditions. So.
Okay.
One good word I'd just like to say is thanks, Kim, for getting us all squared away on this webinar Zoom thing. I know it was a lot of legwork to get all this figured out. So thank you for doing that. And it appears like it's gone smoothly, I would say. So good job.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Was Jessica gonna comment real quick? Okay, we did have one more real quick thing, Kyle, more about presenting on future SWAC work and future SWAC involvement. So just if everybody has, we'll stay within our 8 o'clock. Jessica's a good fast talker, so.
Yeah, I'll be really quick. So my update is on the special waste project, which is basically me evaluating a few specific waste streams that were identified as gaps in the solid waste management plan. And the first evaluation that I've completed is on residential battery recycling. And I've created a pretty long report outlining the challenges and a few solutions that other regions have used when addressing battery waste. And I'm currently working with the operations team here and with the City of Vancouver and Waste Connections, our close partners, to get the report to that like final product with final recommendations from our team that we'll then share with you guys with SWAC, and I'll likely have a presentation attached to that to talk more about batteries so you get a little bit more info than what's in the report, but we'll probably share that out ahead of time for a bit of light reading. It's 20 pages long, so don't want to bore you guys to death. And my other really quick update, medications are in my scope of special waste, and the statewide stewardship program with the Department of Health for medication disposal that was signed 2 years ago. They're about a month away from being able to install kiosks. And those will be just like depots where people can drop their meds off, no judgment, and they'll be located at pharmacies and law enforcement agencies that are volunteering to participate. Right now there are a couple that agreed to do it in Clark County, but there's always room for more. And this also will open up the option for residents to mail in their medications in a free prepaid shipping pouch that they can request for free online. And that'll start in about a month. And it looks like that's going to align with our stay-at-home order as well. We probably won't be out of phase four by then. So I'll probably be pushing out those pouches for people that need to dispose of their medications at home. And that's all I've got.
All right. Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order? Well, have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you all for working with us on this. I really appreciate seeing everybody and participating in this new format. So thank you all so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Kim, do I need to hang on? Do you want to touch base on anything?